Ahoy everyone, welcome to Voyagers Under Sail, the audio journal. This is recording number 25. My name is Tiberio, or Tibi for short, and together with my wife Claudia and my two children, Tia, she's 15, and my son David, he's 12, we are sailing around the world. And we are documenting part of this experience in this audio journal. As I said, this is recording number 25. We start recording in July when we're getting ready to leave for this big journey. So we are already about 3 months into this voyage. And right now it's almost around 12 o'clock. I'm in Gran Canaria, in Canary Islands, in the island of La Palma, the city Santa Cruz, the Marina Santa Cruz, La Palma. Excellent. We've been here for a week. We arrived, if I'm right, last Tuesday. Today it's Tuesday. I don't remember the date today. I think it's the 21st or 22nd, okay, of October. Anyway, it's a Tuesday, that's for sure. And we'll stay here probably until Saturday. I don't know where to start today's recording because I didn't record anything regarding Tenerife, but I still want to record something regarding La Palma. So, because La Palma is still fresh in my memory, and I'm here in La Palma. I'm just going to talk about this island, and then towards the end of the recording, I'm going to talk about Tenerife. So, La Palma, it's a pretty small island. We rented a car for 3 days, and we were able to explore, I'd say, the whole island in those 3 days. Not fully, but enough to have a good idea about the beauty of the island. It's, being a small island and a volcanic island, it has a few volcanoes on the island, so the terrain is very abrupt, but it's very green. It's a very green island with lots of trees, lots of vegetation. It's not very dry. Even where you have the recent volcanoes, there is still a bit of vegetation. You have the black lava or the black ash from the volcano, but there is still vegetation here and there. So it's not, you barely get to have a barren landscape. So it's very interesting. Also, what's interesting from here, from Santa Cruz, in an hour at the most by car, you are at the top of the mountain. But even half an hour sometimes it's enough to get from the town into the mountains, and it's beautiful scenery. The drives are beautiful as well, lots of tunnels, very windy road, all of that stuff. So we spent a day driving up towards the north of the island. We went up to the mountains for a trek, beautiful. We went to some nice little fishing harbor where people have little caves on the rock just beside the sea. Those caves, cottages were locked when we were there, but obviously in a nice day, probably during the summer, a lot of people spend time fishing and spend a few days in that area, and it was absolutely lovely scenery. Also, we found a lovely seafood restaurant, very close to those caves in the north of the island, and really, really nice seafood, and it wasn't expensive. The four of us had a feast with some wine and soft drinks for, I think it was around 60 euro. So I'd say it wasn't expensive for four people, 60 euro, and amazing seafood. Also, we spent another day going to the south of, doing a tour towards the south of the island and up through the mountains. Again, lovely. You get to see the salt ponds where they make sea salt just, you know, through the natural process of drying out seawater in the flats. Nice place. In that part of the island, the terrain is a little bit more with less vegetation, but almost everywhere you see, where you go around the coast, you'll see banana plantations. And I have to say, you know, I like bananas, but when you taste these bananas, they are something different. They have a deeper flavor. They're not as big as the bananas that you buy in supermarkets most of the time. They're kind of shorter and more bulky. But the flavor, it's more intense. The pulp of the fruit, there is more bite to it. It's not so mushy. It's definitely a better variety of bananas that they grow here. And I suppose, you know, you buy them here for somewhere between 1 to 2 euro per kilo, depending on the supermarket. But I bet those bananas sell for a little bit more in continental Europe. Then on the third day on our drive around the island, we went into the middle of the island, into the mountains, close to the caldera of all these volcanoes that happen. And we went for a activity like, you know, zip lining and stuff like that, and also a little bit of a hike. Again, beautiful, but what I want to accentuate, it takes you half an hour to move from one spot to another spot. Like we've been half an hour when we were into the activity park. Half an hour later, we were able to be almost on top of another mountain, and half an hour later, we are down in Santa Cruz. Okay, so it doesn't take long to drive from one place to another. The city itself of Santa Cruz, it's a really small city. You know, I can't tell you how many citizens, but from where I am, I can see the ends of the city easily, and you can almost believe that you can walk to one end to the other in less than 20 minutes. Maybe it's a little bit bigger, but it is a small city. It's all built up onto the side of the mountain, so it's very hilly, and the roads are narrow. But it's a beautiful, quiet city where people seem to go along with their lives without being too stressed about. So it's very calm. It's very calm. The weather here, it's a little bit different than what we encountered so far. Like we had rain almost every single day. I think we had rain every single day, at least half an hour of rain. You get it either in the morning or around lunchtime. And that is just because the island is so abrupt. Whatever winds are blowing and bringing any moisture from the ocean, it transforms in clouds and rain in very short time. But it's pleasant. Like it's warm. It's warm weather. Even, you know, if it rains, you don't mind walking in the rain. You don't feel like being in a big inconvenience. When we did the hike up into the mountains, into the forest, we were caught by the rain, and Claudia did get a little sick, unfortunately, but she's recovering now. So, you know, I didn't get sick. Children didn't get sick. Claudia didn't get sick. So, but still, it's a pleasant rain. You don't compare this rain to the rain you'll get in Ireland or the northern countries where it's really cold and uncomfortable. Now, what else? We came to La Palma with the intention of staying for only 5 days, let's say. So our original intentions were to leave Sunday or maybe Monday, yesterday. But right now, there are winds coming from the south, or very little wind. And our plan is to move from here to the island of El Hierro. That's a 60-mile crossing. It's not huge, but I hate to put the engine on. And that's the reason we are waiting for to get a bit of northerly winds, which will probably happen Friday or Saturday. And that should bring us to the island of El Hierro in about 12 hours, I'd say. And also, this is our last stop in the Canary Islands, a proper stop before we go to Cape Verde. And from what we know in Cape Verde, the provisioning it's very limited. So we kind of prefer to stay a little bit longer here, make sure you know the boat is in good shape, provision properly, and then we'll go to El Hierro for a few days and then do our crossing to Cape Verde, from where we will start our Atlantic crossing. So that's an extra reason to stay in La Palma a few more days, check the boat, you know, make sure the provisioning is properly done, and then move on. Also, we are intending to leave for the Atlantic crossing somewhere towards the end of November. Now it's the end of October, so if we are in a hurry to get out of the Canary Islands, we'll have to spend too much time in Cape Verde. And we already heard a lot of bad stories about Cape Verde, so we were not going to explore a lot in Cape Verde, maybe two or three islands, Mindelo and then just around. So that's an extra reason for not leaving earlier, so trying to drag our feet a little bit around here, our heels. Good. Now, our crossing from Tenerife to La Palma, that happened last week. I think we left on Monday and we arrived on Tuesday night. Yeah, so that was a week ago. That didn't go as planned, okay? Because according to my plan, we would have had perfect wind for 24 hours to do the crossing. If we were able to leave the port and round the island to the north. A lot of people kind of advise you against that. I didn't want to take that advice, and I was a little bit stubborn. And I said, oh, it's fine. I'll just go against the wind for a few hours. I will tack starboard and port. And once I'm on top of the island, the rest, it's going to be a breeze. Okay, I did take into account the wind, which was from northeast. So we were to tack our way for 5 or 6 hours before we'll be able to round the island. That was the initial plan. But what I didn't keep in mind, and I did know it's going to be a bit of swell, 1.5 to 2 meters, but I didn't take into account the current. And the current that comes and flows kind of north to south through the islands, at least in that part of the islands, it's a bit stronger than I was expecting. I didn't even take into account. So our 5 or 6 hours of tacking to go around the top of the island transformed in about 10 hours of tacking. And the swell kind of, you know, was bringing my boat to a halt every time it hit the boat. The current will keep me pinned. It wouldn't let me do any proper progression, you know, heading. And you know, it took us a really long time to go around the island. If I was to do this again, and this is my advice to anybody else who's considering this, is from Santa Cruz de Tenerife, just head south, around the island through the south, and then you'll be probably faster at you know, making your way to La Palma than what I did. Okay. And after we rounded the north part of the island, the wind was still okay for a few more hours, but then in the morning, the wind had died, and through the day, it was almost not enough wind to move, and we had to turn the engine on. So a crossing that was supposed to take 20 hours became a crossing that took, 30-something hours. We arrived in La Palma, Santa Cruz, in the marina, around 10 o'clock at night. There is a gate that they need to lift before you can get into the marina. So you need to, it's not just like any other marina, you just bring your boat in and, you know, you tie to the reception pontoon until the morning. Now you need to call them on VHF, make sure they lift the bridge for you, the barrier for you. And after they leave the barrier, then you get into the marina. And that barrier, it's put in place because the Atlantic swell somehow makes makes its way into the marina, and by putting that barrier into the water, they kind of block the swell, and the marina is a little bit more comfortable and quieter. But there is still, you know, compared to all other marinas, there is a lot of, not a lot, there is some roaring and shaking in the marina. But, you know, it's fine. There is no damage to be done to your boat. It's all good. Okay, so that was La Palma. We spent those 3 days exploring by car, and for the last few days and the next days, we'll just stay here in Santa Cruz. The children will do a bit more studying than usual. We'll do laundry, fix the boat, look at the little things and provisioning. And in a way, it's good to have a bit of downtime and relax. Sometimes you get tired of being on the run and moving from one island to the next and exploring and all of that. Sometimes just need time to relax and take it easy. Now, Tenerife, it was an absolutely amazing island. It's my favorite spot. There is a very good balance between the size of the island, the size of the city. The facilities that are in Santa Cruz de Tenerife are absolutely amazing. They have a library that is open 24 hours, 7 days a week. And it's an absolutely beautiful library. You can go inside, get books, sit at a very quiet desk and do a bit of studying, or get free internet access if you need to. So it's definitely a really, really, really nice place. Also, they have a public swimming pool that is like for €2.50 a person. You get into this amazing place that it's even better. It's like a spa. It's absolutely beautiful pool, clear water, nice sunbeds, nice design of the pool and all the vegetation around the pool. It's a beautiful place as well. There are a lot of parks in Tenerife and Santa Cruz. In Tenerife, beautiful places to walk. So as I said, Tenerife, Santa Cruz de Tenerife, it's a beautiful city. Very relaxed, big enough but not too big to overwhelm you. And also nice architecture. The way the city is designed and the streets and all of that makes for a very pleasant place to walk. It's very easy to walk through the city and to get to wherever you need to get without a car. We just had a really beautiful experience there. We rented a car in Tenerife for only 2 days. It was a little bit a bit more expensive, unfortunately, because we haven't booked it in advance. So we went only for 2 days car rental. And on the first day, we went kind of towards the west side of the island. We did a kind of a grand tour, and we visited a few cities, a few towns. One that stands up in my memory right now is Los Gigantes. It's a beautiful place, touristy city by the sea, but with beautiful views and again a nice vibe around that city. And we also we've seen another few little towns around the coast, mostly on the west side of the island. And then on the second day, we went up the mountains to the El Teide National Park. And that was absolutely mind-blowing. The landscape up into this national park, it's beyond anybody's expectation. The colors, the blue sky with a little bit of clouds, and then the bare volcanic rock with few different colors. It's not just one color. And then the valley around the volcano, other colors and the different textures of rocks and all of that. It's beautiful. We actually made a few videos. We finally managed to get enough time in our hands to start editing videos. So we put on our YouTube channel, Voyagers Under Sail, we already posted three videos. And the first two videos are about our drive through Tenerife. And the third video, the last video, is about, you know, the days we spent in the library, on the swimming pool, and preparing the boat for the crossing to La Palma. So if you have access to YouTube and you want to spend, I don't know, 20 minutes of your time seeing Tenerife through our eyes, I recommend heading over to YouTube and watching those videos. Probably will publish more videos in the future, but it takes time. Yesterday, for example, it took me about 6-7 hours of editing just to put the final touches on the third video. But it's, you know, it's nice to see those videos uploaded. And what I realized is, if it wasn't for this ambition of putting the videos on YouTube, I wouldn't spend the time and the energy to edit and to make the videos. And with so many places that we've been through and so many places that we are going to be to visit, without those videos to remind you of what you've seen and where you've seen it, it's very easy to start confusing places. Like, you know, a few days ago I was thinking back and I was starting to confuse Gran Canaria, to mix Gran Canaria with Tenerife, and I was, you know, it took me a while to distinguish what are the differences and what I did in Gran Canaria and what I did in Tenerife, and now I have La Palma, and I'm pretty sure that the more time is going to pass, it's going to be more difficult for me to distinguish between the events unless I have these video references to go back to watch and kind of refresh and put my thoughts in order. What else in Tenerife? So we did that. Again, we stayed in Tenerife a little bit longer than we planned because we were waiting for the winds to be in our favor. There was a big storm in the North Atlantic that almost, you know, hurricane type storm that almost hit Madeira. But in the end, it kind of went north of Madeira and went to mainland Spain. But that storm caused a lot of westerly winds around the Canary Islands, so we were not able to leave from Tenerife for La Palma for 3 or 4 days. Those are the days that I spent editing the videos and all of that. Good. Now, in terms of you know, relationships inside our family, everything is fine. Everything is going well. The children are spending more time studying. But this more time of studying doesn't come in easy. It takes a while to get them into the mindset of studying. Theodora, Pia, she loves studying. As soon as she opens the book and she settles down, she'll be there for a few hours taking notes, reading, and, you know, telling us what interesting facts she discovered in the books. Where with David, unless we have a reward at the end of the studying, it's very difficult to get him to sit down. And while he sits down, he wants somebody to be beside him, to explain, and he just wants company. He's not the type who will do self-study. All right. And that creates sometimes a little bit of tension between us, because you tell him once, you tell him three times, they start messing around. The boat is small, there is only one table down in the salon. You try to sit two children at that table with the books open and notebooks and all of that. They already are, you know, on top of each other. So it's very easy to to start a fight between them. And then when we try to settle it, you know, everyone who has children probably knows what I'm talking about. What I'm trying to say is that I don't want anybody to live with the impression that we live in this beautiful heaven where everything goes smoothly and there is no fights, no you know, quarrel between us. There is always a little bit of something, sometimes a bit more, sometimes a little bit less. But we are learning, we are getting along together and better every day, and we're getting stronger, as I say. And I'm actually happy this is happening, because it forces us to understand ourselves, to understand our limitations, and to adapt to each other and become better persons. If we were to live in our home, with the regular jobs, it's very easy, you know, once there is a little bit of tension, you know, just you walk out of the room or whatever, you go and turn on the telly, and it's very easy to walk away from a situation, where here on the boat, it's not that easy to walk away from a situation. You need to face the situation, you need to calm down, you need to resolve whatever, the issue, before you can move on. And that will make us better people. There is already, you know, I spend so much more time with my son, I spend so much more time with my daughter. We are getting closer, and there is something that didn't happen when we were back in Ireland, because it's very easy to think that you live in a family environment, but when your routine takes you away from the family, from work, with work, or for them to go to school, when you look, you realize that you don't spend so much time together. You spend only a couple of hours together. But now, with traveling and work and homework and studying and exploring and repairing and all of that done beside each other, our connections, it's stronger. And I think it's a very healthy thing for us as a family. Is there anything else that I should mention? I think that's it. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Probably from now on, I'll try to switch to a different way of recording the audio journals. I think I'm gonna pick up the phone, because I'm recording this straight to my phone. Through the day, a few times, whenever something memorable happens. And I'll just record 1 or 2 minutes. And once I have 2 or 3 days of events recorded on the phone, then I'll publish that as an audio journal. Because there are some experiences that I need to record when they happen or soon after they happen. If I wait too long, they just become a memory. And it's not the same as describing what I see in front of me or what's happening to me. For example, this morning I took David for a training session at 7:30 in the morning here in the Canary Islands. And as you know, in this part of the world and in this time of the year, the night falls, it's around 8 in the evening, 8:30, and the sunrise, it's around 8 o'clock in the morning. So at 7:30, it's still dark outside, but it's the perfect time to go out for a little bit of a workout. So what I did in the past, but what I did especially today, is to take David with me. So we went to the beach. So you have the sea, you have the sun, just kind of coming up from the clouds and from, you know, from the horizon. And you do your training there, you know, jogging, whatever. And by 8:15, when the sun is just above the horizon and it's full daylight, you do your training. It's nice. It's not cold. It's pretty warm, as I said earlier. You feel refreshed for the day. We came back to the boat. We went for the showers, and then sat down for breakfast. You know, just after 9 o'clock. That's how we started our day. And now, while I'm recording this, they are supposed to be back at the boat doing a bit of studying. I'm just on one corner of the marina where it's quiet, and I can I don't know how quiet, but quieter where I could record this. So thank you for listening. Don't forget about the YouTube if you're interested in seeing that. And also, hopefully I'll make another recording in less than 1 week. All the best.